It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareNow using hashtag ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria @RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Hi, welcome back. Dr. Daria here. This week for our Ask Dr. Daria segment, in honor of the American Diabetes Association's Diabetes Alert Day, we've changed it to our Ask an Expert segment. And to help answer your questions about diabetes, I have Alert Day spokesperson Dr. David Marrero to join us. Dr. Marrero is director of the Diabetes Translational Research Center at Indiana University School of Medicine and has worked in diabetes education research for more than 25 years. Dr. Marrero, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Let's start off with, what is Alert Day and why is it important?
Alert Day is an annual American Diabetes Association event. It usually starts on the fourth Tuesday of March, so today is March 24th, runs through the 21st of April. It is the ADA's effort to do a wake-up call for the American public to take a diabetes risk test to find out if they are at risk for developing type 2 diabetes. This
okay.
is very important because there are millions of people, over 30 million people in the United States today that have diabetes, and alarmingly, another 86 million that have what we call prediabetes, which increases their risk significantly for developing type 2 diabetes.
It's so true. The numbers are enormous for diabetes and prediabetes in the United States. Tell our listeners, how can knowing our risk for developing type 2 diabetes be important?
Well, the good news here is that we have learned through very good research that we can prevent type 2 diabetes in many, many people with prediabetes by very simple changes in their lifestyle, losing approximately 7% of their body weight and increasing their level of physical activity, such as just simple walking to 150 minutes a week, can reduce their risk by as much as 60%, which is a huge reduction. So really learning that you have it and motivating yourself to start making subtle but important changes is the first step towards reducing risk.
You know, those numbers are fascinating. So 7% body weight, increase your activity to 150 minutes per week, you cut your risk of type 2 diabetes by over half.
That's correct.
It's so important. I see so many patients who seem to think that, you know, since they have prediabetes, then becoming type 2 diabetes patients is inevitable. And it's really the opposite. You can cut your risk significantly. You can really control that. So what if somebody is potentially prediabetes, but they don't know it? You know, what are the signs? Are there any, or what are some early symptoms that they can be looking out for if they aren't able to come do the risk assessment?
Unfortunately, there are very few clinical symptoms of prediabetes. I mean, you don't really feel that different. It's not like suddenly you have an ache or a pain or something that's quite unusual. But the one thing people can look at is whether they're overweight or obese. We know that probably the most potent risk factor for developing type 2 diabetes is weight. And so people that think they're carrying a little too much weight or in fact have been told they're overweight or obese really need to look into this and make sure that in fact they don't have emerging prediabetes starting.
Okay. Good to know. That's really, so pay attention if you are overweight. That automatically puts you at higher risk. Now, you mentioned some lifestyle changes to if somebody has been diagnosed with prediabetes to prevent them from actually developing type 2 diabetes. Can you give us some more details or other suggestions?
Really, the hallmark of prevention is, in fact, weight loss. So it really is taking the vast majority of people with prediabetes also tend to be overweight. It's really that modest but measurable loss of weight that really reduces risk. We also know that there are other people that should be looking at this. Just coming back to your previous question, people that have family histories of type 2 diabetes, particularly a first-degree relative, so your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, they have significantly higher risk. We also know that certain groups, ethnic groups in particular, African-Americans, Latinos, Asian-Pacific Islanders, and Native Americans, have increased or significant increased risk for developing type 2 diabetes, as do women that have had diabetes through pregnancy, or what we call gestational diabetes.
Okay, so there's a number of people, if you're in those ethnic groups or family history, to be more cognizant and a little bit more aware of your risk for prediabetes and diabetes. Now,
absolutely.
Okay, well, let's look on the flip side of this. You know, in the ER, I regularly see people coming in with complications of diabetes, both type 1 and type 2. And for this, we're talking about type 2. Can we talk a little bit about what are some of the complications that arise if someone's not managing their diabetes well?
Well, the important thing you said is not managing your diabetes well, because we know that in poorly managed diabetes, there's a leading cause of blindness. There's a leading cause of lower extremity amputation. There's a leading cause of kidney disease leading to failure, which requires dialysis or transplantation. It's a leading cause of atherosclerotic disease and heart disease, which oftentimes lead to stroke. It can be a leading cause of neural damage, which can lead to a whole bunch of nasty things, including impotence in men. So it's a long list of things. The important point here is that well-controlled diabetes is the leading cause of absolutely nothing. So we know that you could really significantly reduce the likelihood that you're going to develop a lot of these nasty complications by, you know, taking rigorous and good management of your diabetes.
Okay. And when you say well-controlled, you mean somebody who is not monitoring not only their lifestyle and their nutrition, but also their medications as well and checking their sugars as needed?
Absolutely. In fact, medication use is one of the really serious problems with many people with diabetes. People just don't reliably take their meds as much as we would like to see them, and they simply won't work if you don't take them. So it's really important that you maintain good therapy, you work it out with your healthcare provider. We also know that good, sound nutritional practices is really smart. If you're constantly flogging yourself with, you know, high glucose levels, it's not going to help you. So a combination of a good lifestyle, some physical activity, and good medication regimentation really can do a lot to prevent a lot of the nasty complications that are known to be associated with diabetes.
And that's really so true, in the degree that we can be controlling it. Now, is there a certain age that you recommend that people start getting tested for type 2 diabetes?
Well, unfortunately, we see type 2 diabetes emerging more and more in younger and younger populations. And in fact, many children are not getting it. So again, looking at your weight is one indicator. But some research argues that starting in your middle 40s, you want to start actually taking a look if you have some of the other risk factors that go along with the disease.
Okay, and what kind of testing or screening do you suggest they get?
Well, my favorite is going to the American Diabetes Association website, which is diabetes.org. And then if you go into there, you do the backslash and you put risk test 2015, all one word, you can get to a very simple, a short, easy to complete questionnaire that will give you a score. It will give you a score that tells you how high your risk is. That's really a very simple and evidence-based method to do it, and pretty accessible to all people.
Wonderful. And then if somebody is potentially at higher risk, what do they need to do? Tell us about the testing for type 2 diabetes.
They really need to go to the healthcare provider. The provider could do a couple of simple tests. They could do a fasting glucose value. After you've had no food for about 10, 12 hours, they can check first thing in the morning and see whether you have diabetes, or in fact you have impaired fasting glucose, which is a sign of pre-diabetes. Or they can do a test called an A1C, which looks at your glucose average starting from the day they take the test backwards about 6 to 8 weeks. And that number can tell you whether you have pre-diabetes or in fact you have diabetes.
Okay, so first do the screening and do the risk test, and then they would do the actual blood test as well to be able to tell. Now, you know, you mentioned that women who have had gestational diabetes may be at higher risk. Is any one gender at higher risk for diabetes in our last 30 seconds?
I don't think it's really that there's a gender that's at higher risk. In fact, it's an equal opportunity disease. Anybody can get it, you know, just about any time and anywhere. So it's really about lifestyle management. And there's some genetics involved, but that's really hard to predict.
Okay. So it's really about lifestyle. And again, I think it's fascinating that how much we can control our risk of developing type 2 diabetes by our lifestyle. So I want to thank you so much for joining us. And I want to remind everybody, this is Dr. Marrero, and he mentioned that you can go to diabetes.org/risk test 2015 to take your own risk test yourself. Thank you so much for joining. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, feel free to tweet your health questions to Twitter at ShareCareNow and also to my Twitter handle at Dr. Daria, or check out my Facebook page, Dr. Daria Long Gillespie. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD, where we help you be your healthiest you. Thanks for listening, and stay well.